let's practice what George just said. Can I get an amen?
You know,
people have grown up in different traditions. You know, if you've grown up in a church, like sometimes you grew up in a church, like you were never allowed to speak during church. They kick you out or something. And then there's other traditions you can barely hear the preacher because everybody's yelling. But hey, if you give me an amen, I will appreciate it, especially reading the word of God. Amen, so be it. That's good. I can handle it. If you get out of hand, I'll shut you down. No problem. We are in week two of our series called Dwelling Place, and we are just talking about the Holy Spirit, the present presence of God in our lives. And when we talk about the presence, God with us and then God in us, we're going to read some scriptures today that tell us and help us to understand about who the Holy Spirit is. And again, I'm emphasizing the who part because sometimes, again, we think the Holy Spirit's an it. But the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a he, the third person of the Trinity, the same person of Jesus, the same personality as God the Father. They are the same in nature, and they are the same in action. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. So the things that we see Jesus do, these are the things that the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. And when we think about the Holy Spirit, again, if we've come from different backgrounds, different traditions, it could be many different things that we think about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes if you grew up maybe in a Catholic environment, that Holy Spirit is just the end of the prayer, and then maybe he will be doing something in our lives. And if you've grown up maybe in a Pentecostal charismatic environment, which I definitely have this background, that the Holy Spirit is just speaking in tongues and he is nothing else except tongues. But when we go to the Word of God, we can see and we get a greater understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. The first song that we sang today, talking about the different names of God in the Old Testament, and Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Rapha and all these different names, they all represent to us the character and nature of God. And then us here in the New Testament, the New Covenant, realizing as followers of Jesus, born again believers, as Christians, all synonymous terms, that the Holy Spirit actually indwells us. He is on the inside of us. An old covenant way of thinking that the Holy Spirit would be stuck in the tabernacle or the temple or on a mountain or in a specific geographical place. And we see when Jesus was crucified that the curtain in the temple was split in two, signifying to us that the Holy Spirit moved out of the Holy of Holies and now is dwelling in us. That the Holy Spirit is not relegated to church buildings. And the activity of the Holy Spirit is not relegated to church buildings. And again, when we think about the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he does, again, we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit in church context, and we sing as we just did this morning. You know, again, depending on traditions and things like that, we can think that the Holy Spirit in a super loud, exciting, emotional service, thank God for those, that is where the Holy Spirit is truly at work. But I've also been in services, and we see this in scripture, where we're very quiet and people are prostrate before God, and God is also moving in that context. Be still and know that I am God. So not God, the Holy Spirit, is not relegated to one of these expressions of humanity or just one single thing that we would see in the scripture about who he is. And what we're wanting to emphasize again in this series is realizing that the Holy Spirit is with us all of the time. 168 hours in the week. And you know, if you're just attending church, you're here for a little while, maybe an hour and a half. If you're serving, maybe a little bit longer. If you're part of a group or you do something midweek at church, maybe a few more hours. But we don't want to think of our relationship with God as just being during those times, whether, let's say, we're here for 5 hours during the week, or we're engaged in church activities for 5 hours. What are we doing with the other 163 hours? Are we just saying God is just available in those things? Is the activity of the Holy Spirit just confined to the church building, to a church service? And one of the things that I want to emphasize, and one of the things that I want us to know as a church, that God is in us. He is with us. And we'll read here in a second that he actually wants to help us in every area of life. That we don't want to leave him in a sense at the church service. Okay, God, I'm here today. We'll see you next week. We're checking in right now. You know, we actually want to have this ongoing relationship with God. And I really feel like as we know who the Holy Spirit is and what God wants to do in and through our lives, we can truly have a greater understanding about him and what he wants to do. As we were talking, as we do talk about being transformed into the image of Christ, being sanctified, this is what the Word of God talks about for us as disciples, that the transformative agent of that is the Holy Spirit himself. As we move into the image of Christ, how is that happening? It's not just in and of our own effort. It is God helping us to move in to the image of Christ. And God is influencing us by his Spirit to do good and for good so that we can do the good works that he's created us for, that he will challenge us in the area of obedience, that God is asking us to do things. God is wanting us to take the kingdom of God everywhere we go. He's wanting us to be obedient. He's wanting us to change things maybe from our family of origin that we weren't given by our parents, but it is a part of the kingdom and family of God. These things are gonna come by the Holy Spirit, that he is our teacher. As we spend time in the Word of God, that God is going to be teaching us by his Spirit about his nature and who Jesus is. And then, as we just mentioned, that he's going to help us in all areas of life. John 14, verse 16 says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." The Greek word there is paraclete, helper. That means he wants to help us in every area, all of the hours, not just a Sunday thing, all of the time. "To be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So Jesus is foreshadowing here after the crucifixion and resurrection and the ascension, that the Holy Spirit, who was poured out on the day of Pentecost, will dwell in us, not just be in the Holy of Holies in the temple, not just to be on Bethel or Mount Zion or some physical place, that he will actually be in the church. He will be in people. "And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you, that Jesus will be in us by the Spirit of God. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Manifest means show up. That God will show up in our lives. And again, I feel like it's my life mission, my contention as a PK and as a pastor to say that God will show up in your life. He will show up in your home. God is not waiting till next Sunday to do something in your life. Like, well, the worship's over. I guess God is done moving. You know, again, we're singing about the move of God, and we can't just relegate the move of God to church services, which I think would be a silly thing to do. When we see the activity of God in the scripture, a whole bunch of it, the majority of it is not in a church service. So why would we not expect God to move in all of the other hours of our week as opposed to just Sunday? That God is just gonna be in the church service. Thank God he's here. The scripture says, "Wherever two are gathered, there he is in the midst of us." He's here with us and he's in us. So God is here with us, praise God. But he also goes with us home. Don't we need God in our homes? That's a big amen right there. Amen. We need him in our homes. We need him in our, we need him on the job, right? If we're thinking about some sort of entrepreneurial endeavor, we need God to help us. God will help you with all of these things. Not leaving you alone. He's in us and he's with us. He will help us with the practicalities of life. So last week we talked about wisdom. We talked about the voice of God as wisdom. We talked about a prayer for wisdom. So if you missed that message, it's available on our podcast and then also through our YouTube page. But today we're going to be talking the practicality about hearing the voice of God and what this would mean in our lives and trying to understand it from the scriptural standpoint. Because last week, again, we talked about the voice of God is the voice of wisdom, and God is constantly speaking. And when we think about this phrase and then we see stories in the scripture, we're trying to ascertain, what does this actually mean for me to hear God? Am I actually going to hear God with my auditory nerves? Is there going to be some sort of waves of sound coming from heaven that I will actually hear with my physical ears? Or is there something else happening As it relates to the Word of God, when it calls God speaking, God is saying this. How would we understand who God is? The Scripture tells us that God is a spirit. Amen. So God is not just confined to speaking to us or us desiring to have some sort of voice from the heavens, from the sky, speaking to us. And again, we would see over and over again in the Scripture that those aren't necessarily the rule. They're kind of the exception where somebody would actually hear physically the voice of God. And then we see in the New Testament, the New Covenant, of which we are, that we are called to be led by the Spirit of God. We're not called to be led by prophets. We're not called to be led by pastors. You know, Pastor Brent, what should I do with my life? I don't know. I don't actually know. But I do know that the Holy Spirit, unless God shows me something, I wouldn't know automatically. But do you know who knows? The Holy Spirit knows. God knows, and He lives within you. That's better than talking to me. That's better than some TV prophet. Amen. That God Himself knows what He created you for and what He's leading you to do. But we have to have this understanding. We have to know that the Holy Spirit is actually in us. Now, the first thing, the primary thing, as I always say, and I will say it today, and I will say it again in the future, the primary way for us to hear the voice of God, the Word of God, is through the Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So that the Word of God can do all of these necessary things for us. Teaching, reproof, correction, training. How are we going to get this? Through the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit should be our companion as we read the Word of God. This is what we should say. We should pray. Holy Spirit, reveal to me as I spend time in your Word today the things that you're wanting me to know. Show me through your Word, through the life and ministry of Jesus, through the narrative of the Old Testament, through the letters written to the church, what you are trying to say to me, what you're trying to get across to me. Because this is what He will help us as we read the Word of God, so we will have an understanding, so we can be trained and reproved and corrected, and all of these different things that we need. So the primary way for us is spending time in the Word of God, familiarizing ourselves with the voice of God, but then having this other thing that we're talking about in this series, that the Holy Spirit is in us. He is in us. Now, again, my dad is a pastor. I've grown up in church, been in church, a lot of different environments. And I'm just gonna, the preface to this section is I have a pet peeve. And it is the phrase, the overused phrase, the Lord told me, the Lord showed me. The Lord said to me this, and it's just about everything. Well, the Lord told me to get in my car this morning. I'm like, bro, you didn't need the Lord to tell you. You know you needed to get in your car this morning to go to work, okay? It's not that dramatic. And I feel like it's a little bit overused, even though right now I'm teaching you, and I want to teach you from the Word of God that you can actually hear the voice of God. But this phrase, again, that we use, that people, I would say, overuse, becomes like a trump card in a discussion. Well, the Lord told me this. And a couple things that I would say about that. We don't need to say that up front. We don't need to front-end load some sort of belief that you have about what God is saying to you. We'll find out later if it was God or not, right? And really, the Scripture is written in retrospect. The Scripture is written looking back at something that happened, and so they then know that God spoke to them because it worked out. Are you here today? So we don't need to have all of this. And again, Jesus didn't talk like this. And if anybody could have talked like this, it could have been Jesus. And here's the source of my pet peeve. Just tell you my experiences, my counseling session right now, that I've seen and observed people's like, oh, the Lord told me to do this. And then they split somebody's church. And I'm like, no, that wasn't the voice of God. And there was a church that my dad was pastoring at one time, and there was this lady, you know, bless her heart, she wanted to be pregnant. She was married, first thing, proper order to saying. She was married, and then she wanted to have a child. And she really had this desire to have a baby. And then she showed up at church one day, and she said, the Lord told me I'm pregnant. And I'm like, I'm 16. I'm like, we don't actually need the Lord to tell you that. You can get a pregnancy test. right? Started wearing maternity clothes. A little time went, but again, bless her heart, she just had this desire to pray, and this good, godly desire. But she confused her desire with the voice of God. And this is the thing that happens to us, seen in church. Young men see a beautiful single young woman across the church. The Lord has shown me that you are to be my bride. And she's like, the Lord didn't show you any such a thing. She confirmed that it wasn't the voice of God. Again, we can confuse our desires with the voice of God. And again, there's no reason. There's no reason for us to front end load the whole thing with, this is what the Lord told me. Again, we'll find out. We'll find out later on if God showed you that this was, you know, I was thinking after the first service, you know, the building that we're in, I drove by this building in July 2010, leaving from our house in Milton to go to our other building. And we had been looking as the story, I don't have time to tell the whole building story right now, but we had been looking for a new church building for the better part of 20 years, the whole, big part of it when my dad was pastoring. And I drove by the building and it had a for sale sign, and we had looked at a ton of buildings in this area. And I thought to myself, hey, we should go see that building. Now I know now, after we're in it, that actually was the leading of God. And I had a thought, you know what? We should call our realtor. And I called our realtor and we came through. And I thought, you know what? This seems like a pretty good building. We need to call a building designer. And each step along the way, God was leading us. And then here we are today, 13 years later. Amen. But again, all glory to God. In the moment, I didn't need to be, the Lord has shown me. It's just, it was unnecessary, right? But this whole message today is about hearing the voice of God, that we can, and there's a way for us to decipher what the word of God is in our lives. Can I get an amen? So again, the word and the spirit agree, and this is the more we familiarize ourselves with the word of God. God is not going to lead us by his spirit in contravention of the word of God. Amen. God is not going to tell us to do something that the word of God says that we shouldn't be doing, right? They agree. So we want to recognize the voice of God. Here, one of the things that I love to tell as it relates to the voice of God, the Gospel of Luke. Luke was not one of Jesus' apostles, his disciples, but he was a contemporary of the apostles. And the way he formulated the book of Luke is he talked to eyewitnesses. He talked to people that were healed. He talked to the apostles. And then he did all of these things. And then now we have the Gospel of Luke contained in the greatest selling book of all time, the Bible. Why did Luke write the Gospel of Luke? Was he laying in his bed one night and the ceiling opened up, and then there was an angel hanging out with Jesus, and they were like, Luke, I am your father. No. He was. I mean, you know, any Star Wars fans in the room? This is the story. Luke, I am calling you to write the Gospel of Luke. It's really important that you do it. The ceiling closed back up. I mean, it seems the importance of the Gospel of Luke, that maybe it should have been some sort of angelic visitation. But let's read why Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke. Verse 1, inasmuch as many of you have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely from time past, to write an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. Theophilus means lover of God, that you may have certainty concerning the things that you have been taught. Now, we can miss it. Why did Luke write the Gospel of Luke? Was it an angelic visitation? Was it like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? Was it some big, amazing thing that happened? No, verse 3 just says, it seemed good to me also. And that was it. It seemed good for me to call the realtor so that we could go through this building. And then it seemed good for me to call the building designer. And then it seemed good to go to the city to get a parking variance. And it seemed good for all of these things. And the leading of God like this, again, sometimes we miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. We want some dramatic thing. We want, you know, again, the open, the ceiling in my bedroom and to hear something with my ears. But here Luke is saying it seemed good. It seemed good for me to do this. And again, this is what God's voice will be like. It will be almost imperceptible to us. It seems like the wise choice to do that. And then looking back on it, we're like, man, God was really leading me in that situation, that circumstance. I didn't even know he was leading me. But it just seemed like the right thing to do. So let's not get stuck looking for some spectacular thing. The Holy Spirit is in us. He's going to be speaking to us. We're going to read through a couple Old Testament stories now, and if we can bring them into the New Testament and see what they would mean to us. But we could see the voice of God showing up in a couple individuals' lives. The first one here is Elijah, a famous prophet. And he was the one famous for challenging the prophets of Baal who served a false god. And, you know, Elijah's big declaration is if Baal is God, serve him. If God is going to be God, serve him. And he challenged them to whosoever God would answer by fire, this would be the true God. And so the prophets of Baal got together and they put up the sacrifice and they started cutting themselves and they started calling on Baal and nothing was happening. And Elijah was mocking them saying, well, maybe your God is asleep. And to no avail, as they called on the God Baal, nothing, he didn't respond by fire. And then Elijah said, okay, set up the altar this way and then pour water on him, pour water on again and three different times and it filled up a trench around the sacrifice. And then he called on God, the one true God, and God answered by fire, consumed the sacrifice, licked up all of the water. And then all of the prophets of Baal were killed. And so obviously Elijah won the battle by choosing to serve the one true God. But Ahab's wife, Jezebel, put out a hit on Elijah. Said, this time tomorrow, Elijah, you are going to be dead. Now he faced down 450 prophets of Baal, but one woman scared him. And the scripture says he ran to the wilderness. And if you think anybody would know the activity of God, the power of God, it would have been Elijah. He had just seen God's hand in action. And then he was scared about getting killed. And then he's there in the wilderness thinking that he's the only one. And he's out there whining and he's nervous about his life. And he's like, God, why don't you just kill me? I'm done with all of this. Here, the voice of God showed up to Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 says this. And there he came to a cave and lodged in it. He was so depressed and so down about his life. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to go live in a cave. I'm just so nervous about this threat from Jezebel. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, again, if we bring this thought into the New Testament, the New Covenant, where is God? God is on the inside of us. But what is the vehicle by which God is speaking to Elijah? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 10, he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. So he's nervous about getting killed by Jezebel's hitmen. And then he's kind of feeling sorry for himself. Then he's like, I'm the only one serving you, God. So he's got a little bit of an ego issue as well. Verse 11, and he said, God, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke pieces in the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And Elijah heard it. He wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And this is so important. Because Elijah already knew something. Elijah had already seen the power of God at work. Elijah's feeling sorry for himself. He's afraid. And then God asks him a question. Is it that God doesn't know the answer? No, God knows the answer. But he's wanting Elijah to think. Think about who God is. Think about what he's doing now. And this is how God will show up in our lives. One of the ways that God will show up in our lives, he will ask us a question. What are you doing here? Jesus, in the Gospels, asked over 300 questions. Is it that Jesus didn't know the answer? No, Jesus knew the answer. He just wanted his disciples to think. He wanted the people that he was asking the questions, so he wanted them to think and realize something about God. The psalmist said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" The voice of God will show up in our lives, sometimes not with an answer, but with a question that you already know the answer to. You're just feeling bad for yourself. You're looking at the circumstances and you're deep in the cave. God will show up to us. What are you doing here? You know better than this. It's kind of what he's saying to Elijah. God will show up in our lives with the King James that says the still small voice, a low whisper, asking us a question. Samuel, who's a prophet in the Old Testament, served under a priest, Eli, who wasn't the best priest ever. And we see the story about God calling out to him. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place." So Eli is getting older. Verse 3, "The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark was." The ark represented the presence of God. "Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call you. Go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. And again, the Lord called Samuel, 'Samuel.' Samuel got up and went to Eli and he said, 'Here I am, you called me.' And 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call you. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. And if he calls you again, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.' So Samuel went and lay down in this place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" Such an important attitude for us to carry in our lives, to actually desire to hear the voice of God. And again, not trying to hear something with our physical ears, but a direction, a leading, a still small voice, a low whisper, a seeming, something that the Holy Spirit could reveal to us on the inside. But what should our attitude be? Our attitude should be what Eli told Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." We should desire, there's nothing more that we should desire as followers of Jesus than to do the will of God. God, what is your desire for me right now in this season? And as I mentioned last week, all of us are in different seasons. So we all need wisdom and direction and leading from God for this season that we're in. Not the season that somebody else is in. Thank God for whatever God is leading them to do, but God has something for you to do. But our attitude should be, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul, in this portion of scripture that we're about to read, is comparing and contrasting a life that's led by the desires of our flesh versus the desires of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it here, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires." So all of us have bodies, our physical bodies that have desires in all the different areas of life, which we know about. You don't need to describe them for you right now. But we have all of these desires of our flesh, and we could just be ruled by all of these things. the desires of our flesh can become our God, right? And this is what Paul is talking about. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind is governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, then the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So what do the children of God, how are we led? By the Spirit of God. Are we led by circumstances? Are we led by the crashing of the mountain and the fire and the earthquake and all of these things? Or are we led similarly to Elijah with the still small voice, the voice of the Spirit, the voice of the Father present in us by the Holy Spirit who is speaking to us on the inside, his Spirit connecting with our spirit, leading us forward? This is how we're led. We're not supposed to be led by circumstances, situations, feelings. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you would live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. And Abba is just an Aramaic word that describes to us, you know, my Father, I don't call him Father, I call him Dad. And Dad represents like a close term, a close relational term. And this is what the sentiment being described to us here. And then verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And just like any good fathers speak to their children, talk to their children, teach their children, correct their children, love their children. And how does all of that happen? All of that's happening by words. Amen? And how much more the Father God is he speaking? Is it that God is not speaking or we're not listening? Is the disposition of our heart like Samuel? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Or we're just looking at the circumstances. We're asking our flesh what it thinks. We're wanting to know what God says. And we'll finish with this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That word rule means umpire. In other words, it's going to be the deciding factor. And you've heard this phrase, and it can, because we've said it a lot, it might not mean anything to us, but you have to be led by peace. That the Holy Spirit will show up, and what's going to be the deciding factor? Do I have peace about this situation? Do I have peace about taking this step? Because this is what will happen in our hearts by Christ. Do I have peace about taking this new job? Do I have peace about choosing this major at school? Do I have peace about this? Every situation, I'm as God leading me, I'm by peace. See, God is leading us. That means he's out in front of us calling us forward. The enemy drives us. Get to the side right now. You got to do this. No, God is out in front of us, leading us. How is he leading us? He's leading us by peace. One of my Bible school instructors would say it like this. He's like, if it's God today, it'll be God tomorrow. You don't need to get into a rush to make a decision. You do have to make a decision. Don't blame your procrastination on God. That's you. But we can actually know the voice of God. And what I love about these verses, it talks about that all of these things are going to be in the context of one body. And that the word of Christ will dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. This is one of the beautiful things of the body of Christ. This is why we're not supposed to live out our faith on our own, in a cave, feeling sorry for ourselves. We're actually supposed to be in the context of the body of Christ so that we can teach and admonish one another. We can give wisdom to each other, that we can talk to each other. And if there's something that you're working through, figuring out, there's probably somebody here in the church who's actually gone through one of those things. And here's what I'm thinking about, and here's what I feel like God is leading me to do, and here's the next choice that I feel like I should be making. And there's somebody here in the church, one of the city groups, who also has the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, who could help you to understand what the will of God is for your life, to help you to understand maybe what God is speaking to you. And all of this can happen in the context of community, and it doesn't have to happen, well, thus saith the Lord, this is what I think God is speaking to you right now. It's like, no, come on. It could be like conversation, amen? It could be like friendship. It could be like family. Let's just pray. God, we love you so much today. We thank you that your Spirit is on the inside of us, that you never leave us alone. And God, we thank you, Lord, that you are speaking. And we, like Samuel, we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We desire to hear your voice. We desire to know the ways that you would want us to walk. We thank you, Lord, that you are out in front of us, leading us and guiding us. God, and we say that we will be led by the peace of your Spirit. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Hey, before we go this morning, if you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're here today, I'm going to pray a prayer here in a second. I invite you to pray along with me. This prayer is just a starting place in your relationship with God. The way we have a relationship with God is that God has made a way for us. We don't qualify for a relationship with God because we're perfect on our own, because the scripture says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that we don't have a relationship with God because we put on some sort of religious facade. No, God has just made a way for us to have a relationship with himself. And it's grace, it's a gift, and all we have to do is say yes to that gift. So if you've never said yes to Jesus, I invite you to pray along with me. Or maybe you're here today, used to be in a relationship with God, or you feel distant from God today. You know, God has not mad at you this morning. God is inviting you close to himself. I invite you to pray along with me as well. So church, let's bow our head and close our eyes. And let's pray this prayer out loud, praying with somebody who might be praying it for the first time, or somebody who might be rededicating their life to Christ. God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, and you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to that relationship. I say yes to your righteousness. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I turn from my sin and I turn to your ways. I thank you for salvation today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's congratulate those that did that for the first time. Hey, if that is you this morning and you either said yes to Jesus for the very first time or you rededicated your life to Christ, we have some resources that we would love to put into your hand free of charge that will just help you on your discipleship journey. If you grab the Connect card, the same one that was mentioned earlier in the service, check off the appropriate box and take that card to our info desk in the lobby. One of our team members is there and they will be happy to give you that resources, but we are super glad about that decision that you made today. Hey, before we go this morning, some of our church leaders will be up here at the front immediately after service is dismissed. And you, if you're desiring somebody to pray with you or for you, facing any situation, any difficulty, any area where you need the leading of God in your life, they will be happy to pray with you about any of those situations or circumstances. And that will be immediately after we're dismissed here in a second. So let's all stand up together today. Leaders, you guys can make your way up to the front to get ready to pray. Just one reminder about one of the announcements. We have our lost and found out there in the lobby. So any parents of any city kids specifically, there's lots of kids stuff out there. We're going to be donating that stuff in a couple weeks. So if you feel like you're missing something, please go check that table out in the lobby. Thank you for coming to church today. Have a great afternoon. You are dismissed. We'll see you next Sunday.